When I first heard of Chris Brown and first met him, he was this very handsome, which he still is, dashing instrument inventor, and no doubt you still use some of them, but Chris has moved along, become a hotshot composer, performer, and is currently co-director of the Center for Contemporary Music at Mills College. So you wear a lot of hats, but Chris has never stopped composing. And we're going to be hearing his latest CD, or one of his latest CDs, and it's one piece entitled Lava. We're going to hear that in its entirety. But before we do that, I just wanted to ask you, what was the earliest music you can ever remember hearing?
Yeah, that's a good question. My first strong memory is with my ear next to my parents' hi-fi system, a big old speaker cabinet with a purple grill cloth on it. And I think I was listening to, like, Rossini, music of Rossini, you know, this really fast orchestral strings, and that to me was really exciting. It was probably the Lone Ranger idea, you know.
Yeah. Barbara Seville.
Yeah, Barbara Seville.
Or William Tell Overture, wasn't that?
It was like, I remember the cover of the record.
That's
it was like orchestral
Ranger.
Favorites,
yeah.
And it was also those overtures and, you know,
we had that
light
too.
Stuff like that.
And living in the Chicago area, were you able to listen to some good radio, though, like some good R&B or jazz or stuff?
I didn't really get into jazz at all in Chicago. I know I heard a lot of blues, and I heard a lot of soul music just being there, and some gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in on the South Side, so there was a lot of black music around. But I never really actively listened to it. When I was in Chicago, I was kind of a classical fiend. And so I sort of got that by osmosis, the other thing by osmosis. But
and then you've been in Cuba recently. Has that been affecting your music, your composition, somewhat?
Yeah, I think it is. I've always been interested in a lot in strongly rhythmic music, and the Cuban music is incredibly complex and interesting rhythmically. So I've been, it's been affecting what I've been doing, though. Actually, I'm sort of I don't have any pieces to show for it yet, but they'll be along in good time.
And with Lava, didn't this start out that this was a large grant given to you, and then did you compose it after, or what's the whole story about Lava? Because it's a wonderful name, too, and it's a wonderful piece.
It was, I had a grant from the Gerbode Foundation, which is this little foundation in San Francisco that every year they offer artist grants to artists in different disciplines, and they always go through a producing organization. So what happened was that that year they were commissioning composers, and New Langton Arts in San Francisco invited me to submit an application through them. So it was really their invitation, and then I did a proposal. They basically said, well, you know, if you had $25,000. or half of that, actually, because if you had that much money, what would you do? You know, and so it was kind of like, wow, I've never had that much money before, and what could I do with that? How could I really get something out of that I couldn't do otherwise? And so it was a fantasy to do a piece for a larger ensemble. I usually have been doing pieces for electronics with three or four players. And that was with Room, usually, this other group that I worked with, Larry Oakes and Willie Winant and Scott Gresham Lancaster. And so this was an opportunity, I thought, to make something really elaborate, you know, with more instruments. And I always had a fantasy of writing for brass and percussion, because I like that combination. And I'd also just gotten back from a trip to Hawaii, where I'd never been before, and I'd been very quickly by the Volcanoes National Monument there, and was kind of enamored of the volcano, just the idea of volcanoes in general. I'd always been interested in them. I'd read some books about them, and just the idea of, you know, this idea of Earth and the land mass as something fluid, you know, that basically what we see as these fixed shapes in the landscape are really the results of things that in that case, in the case of the Hawaiian landscape, came about from these flowing masses of earth that are just coming up out of the ground. And just the sort of stupendous quality of that was really inspiring. And so I wanted to make a piece. I'd always been interested in making a piece with electronic means that had something to do with mapping flows of liquid. I mean, from periods of time, watching just the way rivers move, you know, watching the patterns that are formed by the water moving at different speeds. Really, the idea for Malava came out of the idea of trying to map tempos as if they were different streams in a single river, you know, so that as one part of the current might be moving slower than the one that's moving next to it, and that one's moving slower than the ones that's on the outside, and then as it rushes towards a place where the water falls down, all of a sudden you have this speed up, but all different tempi at different times was the idea. So I figured I could do that in this piece. That would be the time to do it. And so it gave me a few years, basically, to you know, put this together, this idea into a score format. And then the rest of the money was to, you know, rent the hall and pay the musicians and record the concert and do all those things. And so we wound up doing two performances in the Great American Music Hall, which was another...
That was a real fabulous event.
It was a fantasy for me, because I've always loved that space.
Yeah.
And with all the red interior, it was kind of the right mood for the piece. And we took the seats out and installed the musicians in the round. The important thing in the piece is that another image of the volcano is that the musicians are in the center of the space, and the speakers are on the outside and the audience is in between, and there are four speakers. And what I was trying to do was take this idea of using the sounds of the players as raw material, and they get picked up by microphones and transformed by my electronics, and then spewed out to the outside speakers. And then the speakers in that position, the sound can be rotated, and you can play with patterns of relationship between the outside and the inside, and the way a sound moves from the inside to the outside. And the idea is to make sort of a landscape out of this process.
When did you record this version that we're going to hear this evening? This morning, I should say.
What time is this?
It is it's 2 a.m.
2 a.m, that's a good time for this piece.
When did you record this version?
This version was recorded last summer 1994, in the studios at the Center for Contemporary Music at Mills. And what happened was that John Zorn, who is producing this great new series of composers series, it's on a label called Sadik. It should be in the Your Better Classical Music stores right now. There are 7 or 8 of these that have just been released, and he's planning to do a lot more. Anyway, he was in town looking for interesting new projects for this label, and I gave him a copy of the performance tape, and he said, well, I like the music, but I think you need to record this again. And so he suggested doing it in the studio, and it sort of presented some problems to me, because it was it's really a live piece, and I had to somehow make this sound alive in the studio version. But at the same time, it really allowed me to get all the notes perfect.
To get it perfect,
yeah.
Of course.
And that part was really fun, because I'd spent, you know, three years or so on the music, and I'd never really heard it exactly the way I intended it to be. So what I did was record each instrument separately, multi-tracked, and then I did it all without any electronics, and this was, you know, an hour's worth of music onto 5 different big 2-inch tapes that had to eventually be spliced together. So it was quite an elaborate process making
that work
out. No
wonder it took
you
all summer. It took you a lot of the summer.
It took me a couple
of
months.
It's pretty satisfying, though, to do a big chunky work and accomplish it.
Yeah, it was. It was really...
Well, curl up... curl up in your little beds or get your cocoa or something a little stronger, and you're in for a treat. We're going to listen to Chris Brown's Lava.